Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Alright, alright, alright. You're gonna learn today. Alright, alright, alright. You're gonna learn today.
Shalom, 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 and good evening. Welcome to another episode of Sword of Truth Presents Bible Talk. My name is Mashaba. I am one of the teachers here with the ISBHPK, the Israel School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge. And I'm joined by my brother, my friend, my colleague, the brother Gabar Kawa. Shalom, Mark. What's going on? I love you there.
Shalom, sir. Yahweh Shalom, Yahshua Barakatah. Shalom, call Yahshua also. And I am here indeed.
All right, for sure, for sure. Good to hear your voice, Mark. Good to hear your voice. I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in. And remember, if you'd like to keep up with all the latest and what's going on with Israel and what's going on with within the nation or what have you, we invite you to please check out ISBHPK.com. Please go to the website, ISBHPK.com. There you can be kept abreast or kept up to date with the latest high holidays, with some of the latest fashions, some of the latest information that's coming out, with links to the various YouTube channels that are available to you to check out. Whether it's ISBHPK Houston, ISBHPK Norfolk, ISBHPK even San Antonio. You can tune in and join them for the Sabbath classes that start basically 10 a.m. Every Sabbath, so-called Saturday. You can check them out there. Well, they have classes. We have classes where you can see the visual. A lot of people are visual learners. So where you can see the visual classes with the families and everything. Either one of the YouTube channels that we have, again, ISBHPK San Antonio, ISBHPK Houston, ISBHPK Norfolk. We invite you to check them out. We also invite you to please check out the website to help support this ministry, help support this work that we're doing and trying to give people God's word, trying to give the people who the Bible has been hidden from, the ways of God have been watered down and diluted. To help us get this word out, we have several businesses that we've established to help support this work in this ministry. It is Israelware, where you might be able to go to the link, and if you're a man, woman, or child, and you want to get some of your Hebrew garments to, stepped up, we invite you to please check them out. They have clothes for men, women, and children, from the T-shirts. If you want to get the T-shirts fringed up, you want to get shirts fringed up, you want to get tailor-made shirts. Custom-made to fit you specifically. They have the resources to make that happen. The different type of pants, if you want to get your pants game up, with different fringes and different studs, what have you. If you want to get your some of your more holy garments, one of your more righteous garments for the high holidays, if it's made with the tunics or what have you, that there's links on there where you can get custom-made tunics along with the headbands, along with the armband and girdles, they have access to all of that to hook you up, to have you look, have you looking just right. And that, again, is done by the brothers and sisters. So handmade. It's all handmade. It's all tailor-made to fit you. All right. So that's one way that the one of the businesses that they came up with, Israelware. All right. Israelware. I'm going to leave it at that. Israelware. So we invite you to check them out. There's a link there to get, for the sisters. If you want to get your dress game up with the friends, you want to get your modest and glorious apparel, and try to keep in line with the scriptures and the dress of a proper righteous woman, the dress code of a Bible loving virtuous woman. There's links there again. You can get all that hooked up. And again, the headdresses, the hair bonnets, what have you, good to go. And then the jewelry also from the female armbands and from rings to bracelets to necklaces. They do have all that available on the Israelware link that you can check out at ISBHPK.com. They also have a vendor set up called Sweet Ambiance. And we have stores set up in San Antonio. Oh, I'm sorry, that's Sweet Ambiance. A few audience set up in Houston, Norfolk, and Rochester, New York, with Eastern Fragrances set up in San Antonio, as well as What's Kosiah's business name?
EO or Pure.
Pure Therapy.
Yes, Pure Therapy.
Pure Therapy with an I that is set up in San Antonio at the Ringo's
right.
Mall. But if you don't have access to San Antonio, to Houston, to Norfolk, Virginia, or Rochester, New York, there's a website on the ISBHPK.com. There's a link to Sweet Ambiance, and you can get all the latest and fragrances, handcrafted, handmade soaps, lotions, car fresheners, body toners. At Pure Therapy, if you want to need to get your holistic game up, you just want to deal with more of the holistic essential oils, that can be done at Pure Therapy at the mall set up in the Rollingos Mall set up here in San Antonio, as well as supporting the school here in San Antonio, Eastern Fragrances, all right, where you can get your latest in the custom design popular fragrances of perfumes, colognes, and what have you. Please check them out. Again, they also at the Rollingos Mall. There's links on the website to, if you like to send something through PayPal, if you like to send something through Zelle, if you like to send something directly to the Wells Fargo account, if you like to send something through the Cash App, that there's ways to go ahead and send donations and tithes in that way to help support this work and us trying to help get the truth out and trying to help awaken our people to the lies that have been spread throughout the earth about Jesus Christ, about God, and about the angels, and about the truth, and even about what salvation is. That I need that scripture. What is that scripture? I got to think of how it's worded. I'm going to need you to find it for me, Ock. It's it's escaping me. It is running from me right now. I can't think of how it's worded. Well, give me St. John 8:32 real quick. Give me St. John chapter 8, verse 32.
St. John chapter 8 and verse 32.
There's a lot of background.
Yes, sir. Okay, St. John chapter 8 and verse 32. And it reads, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
Right, and again, the words of Jesus Christ, who the world calls Jesus Christ, and who we call in ancient Hebrew, Yahweh Shai, meaning the anointed Savior. When we say Jesus Christ, the way you translate the term Jesus Christ into the ancient Hebrew, it'd be Hamashiach Yahweh Shai, which means the anointed Savior, okay? When you say it in English, it's Jesus Christ. These are his words. Right? If for those that are following us along in the Bible, you have your Bible out and you're reading along with us. And let me go ahead and put this disclaimer out. I got to do it again this way. If you don't believe in the Bible, this show you're going to hate. Okay? If you don't believe in the Bible, then this show is not for you. You're not going to like anything that's being said. Right? If you really just love religion, I really love the things that religion teaches and the feelings that get stirred up from religion, then even in the name of our show, Sword of Truth presents Bible Talk. If you don't like the Bible and don't like the scriptures, this show is not for you. Okay? There are many religious formats that are available through various media throughout the world, from YouTube to Apple podcasts, to other Google podcasts, to even on Blog Talk Radio. There's other many religious formats that a person is more than free to follow and check out. That might go according to your feelings. That might go according to your emotions. All right, but here we do let the Bible talk. So if you can read the scripture for me one more time, I'd appreciate it.
Yes, sir. We are in St. John chapter 8 and verse 32.
Okay.
And it reads, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
why would Christ have to say this? Why would Christ have to say that you should know the truth and the truth shall make you free? If a person has been taught, or all a person knows from the day they're born, think about this, brothers and sisters, for a second. From the day you're born, the doctor slaps you on the rear end to do what? What's the purpose of when you're born, why does the doctor slap you on the behind? Is it not that you have that sensation? You just came through birth. Now the sensation of getting hit on the bottom, the discomfort, the sensation, the emotion that's caused by getting hit on the bottom, does that not cause you to feel to breathe your first breath? Obviously, the answer is yes. That from that very your very first contact with the outside world, outside your mother's womb, is a sensation of getting hit on the bottom, causes you to breathe. But it's that sensation. That's the very first thing anybody goes through when they're first born. It's the sensation of being hit on the bottom, causing that child to take his first breath. Now, is that child truly feeling discomfort at being hit on the bottom to breathe his first breath? Yes, that infant, yes. That infant's first communication with the outside world is the sensation, the feeling of what he's going through. And from that point through the rest of his life, matter of fact, from that point until the age of about 2, maybe 3 years old, the only way that that child knows how to communicate is through his sensations and through the various cries and the various outbursts that he or she might have. There's the only way to communicate discomfort, the only way to communicate pain, cold, being too cold, is again, to relate to the senses, is to relate to the sensation of that child's environment. If it's any different, please, somebody let me know. If that's not the very first thing a person learns, an infant, a human learns, when they're born on the planet, when they're born, is that very first sensation of being tapped on the bottom, causing you to take your first breath, your first cry, your first scream, your first communication with the world that you don't like what you're feeling, that you are uncomfortable. And what do the doctors and everybody, what does everybody say? Whether it's a midwife or a doctor, a nurse or whoever, there's a joy. There's a joy that now this baby took his first breath. That is a happiness that this baby took his first breath. Irregardless of it took that baby having to feel the sense, the sensation, the emotion of discomfort. But it was from that action, it caused every single baby on the planet Earth to feel his first react, to breathe his first breath. Through the sensation of discomfort. And from that point on, again, I'm only giving that analogy. Not even now, I'm just giving that fact to point out that from the day you're born, you take your first breath, you're taught to deal with your discomfort. You're taught to deal with your emotions. You're taught to communicate how you really feel. Does that baby really feel the uncomfortable sensation of being smacked on the bottom? Yes, that baby does. Yes, that baby does. And that's the very first training that baby gets, to react to something, to sensations, to react to how you've been made to feel. And that truly is what that baby is dealing with. From that point of that baby's life to the rest of his life until he starts to learn what the real truth is. So, knowing the fact that from the very first time anybody is born, anybody comes through his mother's womb, the very first sensation, communication, breath, is from the sensation of being smacked on the bottom. That's the whole wide world. We're going to do something like that. That's the whole wide world. Now, your first, again, your first sensation, your first instinct, your first anything that you do, when you take your first breath, is behind the sensation of how you feel. Again, if I'm lying or exaggerating, please let me know. Please let me know. Now, Christ knows that that's how that's the entrance of everybody to the whole entire, everybody on the planet experiences that. And obviously Christ knows this. So why would Christ have to come back to you and say in St. John chapter 8, verse 32, that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free? Doesn't a baby truly know how he feels or she feels when they first get hit on the bottom? I'm sure they do. Their reaction to the outside world, the doctors, the father, the mother, the grandmother, the midwife, the nurse, whoever it might be, is to hear that baby cry, taking his first breath, and communicating. He or she is in tune with the sensations of the outside world. The second thing they do with a baby, when the baby is born, after the baby's cleaned up, and if the baby unfortunately is born in America, it's got to go through the shots and the toe printing and the fingerprinting and the pricks and the vaccination and everything that an infant, a newborn goes through. But typically, as that baby's born, slapped on the bottom, receiving that sensation, what's the very first, after they clean the baby up, what are they going to do? They want to get that baby on his mother's chest. They want to put that baby on his mother's chest so that baby can feel the warmth of the mother. That baby can hear her heartbeat, because what has that baby heard? What's been that baby's environment for the past 9 months is to be surrounded in his mother's belly, but to hear her heartbeat, to be very familiar with her heartbeat. So the baby's first sensation is to be slapped on the bottom and let it know how, that baby lets it know how he feels. Then to comfort that baby, the next sensation is put him on his mother's chest, let him feel the warmth, and hear her heartbeat. Get back in tune with those sensations. While being on the mother's chest, what's the other sensation this baby is now recognizing? The scent of his mother. How his mother smells. And they say smell is the one sense that is most related to memory. So this baby is being surrounded by now and being indoctrinated with all these different feelings, all these different sensations. Then they have the baby what? Latch on to the mother's breast, latch on to the mother's nipple, and taste her breast milk, which is also being programming the sensation of taste. So from the time we're born, these are the sensations that we are very in tune with, how we feel, how I truly feel. I need some comfort. Where's my mother's breast? Just to be around my mother, just to be held, to be held tight, to be kept warm, and to hear the heartbeat, to hear her voice, to hear my dad's voice. To have the familiar smells, the comforting smells. We are very in tune with our senses of how we feel. If we urinate, we don't know. A baby doesn't even know he urinated. All a baby knows is the sensation of what? the urine dried, and the urine cooled off. And now I feel the discomfort of cold urine against my, I just feel the discomfort of coldness. So that baby cries out at the discomfort of coldness because now the urine has, the warm urine has passed through the diaper, and now that warm urine is now cold, so that baby feels that discomfort. I'm walking through all this to try to help explain that from, again, the time you're born, you know and are truthful about your feelings. You know and are truthful about how you feel. That is not, that's not an issue. That's no one's. That can't even be challenged. And I'm trying to paint this picture and trying to give this example that if that's how everybody's interest is into this world, that you know how you truly feel from your first day of breathing. You know how you feel. You're in touch with your senses. You're in touch with your sensations. You're in touch with your emotions. Then is Christ talking about in St. John 8:32 that you should know the truth and truth should make you free, that you're supposed to know the truth of how you feel, that until Christ said this, you don't know how you feel? That now, when the scripture is read, and again, there's a discomfort that you feel that you have the right to express how you feel about this scripture. And now, my question is, it still stands, or even just reflecting back on this statement, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall, we can read that one more time, St. John 8:32.
Yes, sir. St. John chapter 8 and verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The truth shall not set you free. The truth shall what? Make you free. So, free from what? Because from the day you were born, the day you took your first breath, you've been in touch with your senses, your emotions, and your feelings. So what is this truth that Christ is talking about? That now the truth is going to make you free. Well, let's let Christ answer that. Let's let Christ answer that. Let's let Christ answer the statement, the question of what is the truth? Because as much as we've been taught to be in touch with our senses and our emotions and our feelings, obviously that can't be what Christ is talking about when he says, and you shall know the truth. Because everybody knows how they feel. From the day they take their first breath, everybody knows how they feel. So as much as they want to come back and say, I got to tell you the truth. I got to tell you how I truly feel. Cool. You can tell me how you truly feel. But if that's the truth that Christ is talking about, then now you're going to be made free. Let's get St. John 7:17, verse 17. And Ox, if you got any comments or examples you want to help bring out with this, please do. Please do. Feel free.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So we're going into St. John chapter 17 and verse 17.
17.
Right?
Yep.
Sir. St. John chapter 17 and verse 17. And it reads, sanctify them through thy truth.
Now, there's a lot going on here. And I know for people who don't read the Bible, this is going completely over your head. The word sanctify means to cleanse, to purify. So this is a prayer that the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is praying to the Almighty Father, is praying to the Creator concerning his disciples, concerning Jesus' students, concerning those that are truly following Jesus for edification. Jesus, Yahweh Shai, the ones following the Son of Mary and Joseph. his prayer, he's saying what? Sanctify them through that. He's praying to the Almighty Father, to the Heavenly Father, to sanctify people with the truth. If the truth is about how you feel, then why would you need to be cleansed about how you feel? If the truth is, because people in the world, let us say, well, everybody's got their own truth. No, everybody's got their own feelings. There's only one truth. There's only one truth. So here Christ, the Messiah, is saying what? Sanctify them through thy truth. Cleanse, purify my disciples, the ones who are truly following me, sanctify them with thy truth. This is a prayer that Christ, the Son of God, is making to the Almighty Father. Read on, Ak.
St. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
God's word is the truth. God's word is the truth. So when Christ said in St. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, what's the truth that he's referring to? Not the truth of your emotions, not how you truly feel, not how I truly feel. To know the truth, to be made free, to be sanctified with the truth. We're finding out to be made free in order to be purified, in order to be sanctified, in order to be cleansed, we have to be cleansed with God's word, with the word of God. Not your feelings, not my feelings, not anybody's feelings, but the word of God. Gabar, does any of that make sense?
All of it. All of it. I mean, you asked the question about free from what? Free from your feelings. Free from your opinion as to one of the things that you would be made free from.
Todd, there's a scripture I want to get, if I can find this. We're going to the book of Psalms. So I gotta find this scripture real quick. We're going to go to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 119 and verse 142. The 119th Psalms and verse 142. The 119th Psalms and verse 142.
Yes, sir. Psalms, chapter 119 and verse 142.
Yes, sir.
And it reads, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth.
There's so much in this scripture also. I'm going to start from the second part first and then come back and read the first part. So the second part of the scripture tells us that what?
And thy law is the truth.
God's law is the truth. God's word is the truth. So guess what? God's word is God's law, which is the truth. So when Christ is praying and says and makes the prayer in St. John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We're finding out now that the truth is God's word. And God's word is the law. So now we're going to come back and find out what God's law is and what God's word is. And what's it going to do? Make us free. When Christ prayed, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So to be sanctified with God's truth, is to be sanctified by God's word, which is to be sanctified, purified, or cleansed with God's law. And what is it that we're sanctified, purified, cleansed from? What is it that we're being made free from? Our emotions, like the brother Gavard just said. And our emotions have been fed to us from our environment, from the first day we took our first breath. From the first day we took our first breath, our environment and the reaction of people around us, their emotions have fed us to learn how to react off of our emotions, to react off of our feelings. So now, to give an example, Christmas gives damn near everybody that warm, cozy, fuzzy feeling. Christmas is every time that time of reflection. We're drinking the eggnog with the Jim Beam in it. We're drinking with the rum in it, or if you're from the islands, with the Guinness in it. We're eating the Divinity candy. We're giving people fruitcake. We got the Christmas dinner, all arranged and set up. We're going out passing out turkeys, passing out hams and everything, because it's that spirit of Christmas. To see the Salvation Army guy or girl out there ding-a-ling the bell, asking for donations, and it's just that feeling of chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
It's that
frost.
It's that merry feeling, that cheery, you know, joyful feeling. It's that huge emotion, that huge influence.
Joy to the world.
Right.
Our Lord has come. Something.
Yeah. it's something. But
yeah,
I
don't know the lyrics, yeah.
It's all in making the point of making you feel a certain way.
That it's cold as hell outside, but you got some Christmas carolers that came out there freezing. The six of them standing there freezing, knocking on your door, trying to make you listen to some Christmas carols.
Right.
And it's all entangled in the feeling of Christmas. One of the songs is to start to feel a lot like Christmas.
Yeah, it's beginning to look a lot like.
Okay, my bad. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Right, which is another sense, of course.
True. It's all about the emotion.
Right.
All about the feeling of Christmas. And now, to be caught up in, if you don't, if a parent doesn't get a child a Christmas present, the emotion that the world pushes, that if you're a parent who did not get your child a present for Christmas, you're no good parent. You're evil. To where it'll make a person feel messed up. I didn't get my kids a present on Christmas. What kind of evil creature am I? What kind of Christian am I? What kind of deviant am I? What kind of heathen am I? That I didn't make sure my kids got a Christmas present. What are you gonna say?
What I was gonna add is the so-called holiday season is a season of depression. Because of how you are made to feel about not getting a gift for this holiday season, or not being around, whether it just be your children or your family. The downside of the holiday the holiday is a feeling. It's a huge depression, which is based off of an emotion, a sad emotion.
Okay, the depression of I wasn't able to make it home for Christmas.
Right.
I wasn't able to be there December 25th and watch the kids come running downstairs or running into the room or whatever and see the joy in their eyes as they ripped open the Christmas present. I missed it. I wasn't there. And or the feeling of at least I made it home for Christmas. I was overseas trying to protect the country. I'm in the military, but I fought through wind, hail, bullet fire, natural disasters.
Planes, trains, automobiles.
I did everything, and I was able to be there Christmas morning so that we could share this Christmas. Now, if you don't participate or do something to meet everybody's emotional standard about Christmas, you're evil, you're off, there's something wrong. That's why there is more suicides during the Christmas holidays than any other time. Because now a person is reflecting on, I've got nobody to share Christmas with. I couldn't get a tree. All I could do was go find a tumbleweed, and I decorated the tumbleweed. I put the popcorn string around it, and I opened up a Starbucks coffee, and that was my Christmas. Now, that's the feeling that is associated with Christmas. And this is what I love when people say at this time also. Well, it might be pagan, but it's for the kids. It's to make sure the kids get more in touch with the senses. That the kids get more in touch with the emotions. But now, again, why is there so much suicide during Christmas holiday? For those people who don't have anybody to share Christmas with. Why is there so much depression around the Christmas holiday? Because the emotion of Christmas is not being met. But now, what's the truth about Christmas? Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 10. We're going to read verse 1 and 2, then we're going to jump. You there, bro? You there?
Yes, sir. Jeremiah 10, Jeremiah 10, verse 1. And it reads, "Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel."
I'm going to have you read that scripture. Read that one more time.
Yes, sir. Jeremiah 10 and 1. "Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you."
Hear ye the word that what?
That the
Lord speaks.
Speaketh unto you.
And I know this is blowing people's minds away. What? Hear the words of God, but I had a dream. What? Say the words of God, but I'm following these customs. What? Hear the words of God, but I'm not feeling what God is saying. I'm not feeling that. I'm not with that. I'm more in tune with my feelings and my emotions. But it says, one more time, please, Art.
Yes, sir. Jeremiah 10 and 1. "Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel."
Hear the words which the Lord speaks unto you, O house of Israel. Jump down. What verse do we go to? Verse 5? Verse 3,
We go all the way to, verse 5.
Okay.
The whole, of course we're not going to spend the whole chapter, but we could do the whole chapter.
We're not going to do the whole chapter, though, because I got a point I'm trying to get to.
Yes, sir. So 10 and 5, 10 through 5. Is that what you wanted?
Let me catch up. I want to go straight to the point.
Yes, sir. I'd say two through. Two through five is, you know, the best way. And I could, you know, go through it and, you know, the I'm sure the point, you know, the understanding.
You're right. You know, you were totally right. You were totally right. Let's keep reading.
Yes, sir. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 2, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for
now,
the heathen."
The Lord said, learn not the ways of the heathen. When we look up the word heathen means people who do not follow, people who do not follow the God of the Bible. So here, the Lord God of the Bible, the Father of Jesus Christ, is saying what? Do not learn the ways of the people who don't believe in the God of the Bible. Don't follow them. Don't associate with them. And again, I know this is going over people's heads that hate the Bible. I know this is going over people's minds that you hate the Bible, but you love being in tune with your emotions. You love doing you and what makes you feel good, and you hate God. But we're going to go ahead and keep reading what God says. Read it from the top of verse 2, please, Doc.
Yes, sir.
And if there's anything you want to bring out in this, please do.
Yes, sir. Definitely will. Jeremiah chapter 10. And verse 2, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, learneth not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. 3, for the customs of the people are vain."
The customs of the people are vain. The word vain means worthless. That what the heathen, the people who don't even believe in the God of the Bible, their opinions, their customs, their traditions, their holidays have absolutely nothing to do with the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible does not recognize them, see them, or could give a damn about them. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God that created the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that in them is, the God who created the heavens and the stars and the earth and the moon, the customs, the traditions, the feelings of the people who don't care about him, he could give a damn about. And he's telling his people, do not learn their ways. Do not learn their customs. What else you got out?
For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe. They deck it with silver and gold, and with gold they fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not.
So what's a custom of the heathen is go out to the forest, get a tree, chop it down, bring it home, put it into a tree stand or nail it to the floor, and then to decorate it with silver and gold. That is a custom of the heathen. That is a custom, a tradition, a holiday of the people who do not believe in the God of the Bible. Are the people who do not follow the God of the Bible. Basically the whole entire world.
Right. That's the first 15 minutes of the Griswold Christmas thing, isn't it?
We're going all the way back to Con. Yes, it is. Yeah, it's the beginning of, you know, when you start putting up Christmas decorations
right.
in the stores, starting right after Halloween.
That's when the tree store, I guess, or the trees in the mountains become.
Great.
They become free game to go up and, you know, chop your own tree.
This is when the candy canes, because that's associated with Christmas.
Right.
And the feelings and sensations. You start seeing the Christmas tree decorations going up.
Right.
Go ahead.
I mean, they deck the halls with fa la 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 la.
That's true.
They deck it with silver and with gold. That's the tinsel that you put on the trees.
Yes.
And
when everybody is, if we have a fake tree, that Dan went and pulled this fake tree out the attic, and now we're setting it up, and we're decorating it, and then the youngest daughter is going to be picked up by Dad and put the star on the top of the tree. As we all sit around in our Christmas sweaters and drinking the warm eggnog, there's some gingerbread cooking and it's wafting through the air with the scent of cinnamon and nutmeg and vanilla, and it's just that there's a fire crackling
right
there in the living room, and
what is it? The ambiance?
Yeah, the ambiance. It's just that. That wholesome, like the family is together. We made it to another Christmas. I love you. I love you too. It's the feeling of just the feelings of Christmas.
Well, the comfort of, you know, the chestnuts roasting on an open fire, you know.
Right.
Just in the song, just, you know, I love this part of the year. It gives me such a warm, giving,
cozy.
I'm cozy. I mean, it's got to be cozy if the chestnuts is roasting.
and before COVID, I'm walking down the street. Now, I smile at people. They smile back.
Right.
You see the little blonde-haired white girl with the rosy cheeks because it's cold outside, but her blonde bangs are hanging down, and she's got the blue eyes just sparkling, and she smiles at you, and it's just, man. Now, just last month I was a nigger, but now I'm somebody. Now I'm somebody you can wave at.
Right. It was up yours, Nick.
Right. Exactly. Now you come and put a little bit of change in a homeless person's cup, because you just did your part for the spirit of Christmas. All those feelings, and what did God's word just say? God's word said, go ahead.
It says, God said, the Lord said, thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen.
So God's word is God's law. He said, don't do that. So now, if I'm feeling like Christmas is pagan, that no, December 25th, and nowhere has it ever been proven that December 25th is Jesus Christ's birthday. It got nothing to do with Jesus Christ's birth. It has nothing to do with the birth of Jesus Christ. And I'm like, no, I'm not dealing with this. The world will have me like stop being a Scrooge, Bah Humbug, the Grinch that stole Christmas. That the reaction from the world is, I'm not loving, I'm not an American, I'm not patriotic, I don't love Jesus. Would damn to be the sentiment. But now that I know the truth and I know God's word, I'm learning God's law, guess what? I'm free from your emotions. I'm free from, why don't you do that? We've been doing this for as long as you can remember. It's family tradition. You know, Aunt Emma is going to cook the her famous greens with the ham hocks. And, you know, it's the greens with the ham hocks, but you know her secret ingredient?
Right.
She cuts up little pieces of bacon, pork bacon. And then she puts one can of clam juice. That's it. And that, you know, she does that every year. And you go, you're not going to eat, you're not going to come over and eat that?
you know how Annie's going to feel about that.
You're going to break her heart.
Yes.
You're going to break her heart.
Oh, now you're too good now, too. You can't even celebrate with the family. This is family time. The pineapple and the, you know, and the cherry on the side of ham.
with the little cloves put all through it. Oh, you know, Dad's gonna carve it. He sharpened his fork and knives so he could carve the turkey or the ham. Just right. That honey glazed ham. And you're going to go against the family because the Bible says something? You're going to go against the family because somebody showed you what the Bible, what God's word said? How dare you? How dare you go against the emotions? How dare you go against the feelings? And this time of Christmas is supposed to be for the kids. Why are you going to rob them of Christmas? Why are you going to rob them of that emotion? And this is about to bring me into, let's go to, since that's one of the laws of God. Let's go to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6.
Yes, sir.
Let's go to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6.
Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. And it reads, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge."
Now, this is what God is saying about his people. That now his people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And I know that this is goes against everybody who wants to worship themselves and their feelings, like what the devil has people do. Obey your thirst. Obey your feelings. Don't obey God. Obey what you feel. That's the devil. So God is saying, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Reading on.
"Because thou hast rejected knowledge."
And now we reject God's knowledge so we can keep our feelings. So we can keep obeying our feelings. We can keep obeying our emotions. We keep obeying our sensations. Read on now. I hope everybody's listening to this and reading along, but I know how people aren't. Yesterday we had almost 10 callers on the chat line. Today we got 4. Not a problem. Not a problem. Keep reading.
Hosea chapter 4 in verse 6 in the middle. It says, "I will also reject."
I want you to start at the top, and I'm not going to stop you. I'm going to read you the whole thing. Just enunciate everything.
Yes, sir. Hosea chapter 4 in verse 6. And it reads, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children."
Damn. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. So even including the latest incident that's made the national news, whatever, the shootings in Uvalde, Texas, we can go all the way back to when Columbus, colonizers, murderers, or as the Bible says, the thieves first came to steal, kill, and to destroy. We'd already forgot. The Israelites had already forgotten the laws of God. That's why even among the Aztecs and the Incas, yeah, there's cannibalism. Among the Native Americans, you were worshiping of the green world, yellow world. You became the deer clan, worshiping the deer, the bear clan, worshiping the bear, worshiping the owls and ravens or whatever else. Yeah, we've been forgot the laws of God. We were still the Israelites, but we have been forgotten the laws of God. So that now, even to this day, especially in now it's June, right? June 1st, the year 2022. Ain't nobody looking to us, God's people, to be his priests, to tell people how to actually serve God. They look to us to be able to serve our emotions. They look to us to get emotional. But ain't nobody looking to God's true people to be the leaders of getting people back to God, of actually learning God. And because of that, it says, seeing that thou hast forgotten what? The law of thy God. We forgot. And what is the law of God? According to Psalm 119, verse 142, it's the truth. God's law is the truth. We've forgotten God's law and become slaves to our emotions and the emotions of the people around us. We're now prisoners to our emotions and the emotions of people around us. But God, Jesus Christ, came so that we might be made free. We can stop being prisoners and slaves to our emotions. But because we reject God's knowledge, we're forgetting God's law, what did God say was going to be the consequence?
I will also forget thy children. I will also reject thee.
I will also forget thy children. So as we're sitting here and everybody is mourning and feeling the loss, and I ain't gonna lie, when I first heard about the shooting of 18 kids in Uvalde, Texas, we live in San Antonio. We go back and forth from San Antonio to Albuquerque a lot. Four of my six kids were born here in San Antonio. Uvalde is only about maybe just over an hour away.
Right. It's 80 miles. 80 miles from here.
Okay. So hour and 20 minutes in from San Antonio.
Right.
And it was an elementary school. My wife is an elementary school teacher. My wife teaches 4th, 5th, and 6th grade students. So, yeah, the initial feeling was, oh, shit. And, yes, when they told me that the shooter was killed, I knew immediately right then that it wasn't a white boy that did the shooting. And knowing that Uvalde is majority of that town is Mexican. Mexican-American, I'm going to say it like that. So-called Mexican-American. But I knew that when I heard that, yeah, they shot the shooter, there's no way that it was a white boy because cops don't shoot white boys.
We also want to look at where it says, I will also forget, or seeing that thou hast forgotten the law. It's not like we just came up with amnesia. It's more like abandon the law, or like we said, forget the law.
Well, like God just said in the beginning of the verse.
Right.
We rejected God's law. We reject God's knowledge so that we can be in tune with the emotion of things, with the sensation of things. We'd rather give in to the sensations and the emotions than to actually deal with God's law. And this is God talking to the Israelites, who, for a lot of those children, the majority of those children that were so-called Mexican-American that got killed here in Uvalde, they're Israelite children. And yeah, again, my first initial reaction was, first off, my first initial reaction was another white boy that went on another killing spree, just like the one that just happened in Buffalo that was 2 weeks earlier.
Right.
Or the one in South Carolina, that white boy went to a black church. That white boy that went to that black church, he went to the church services. I thought that he just went there and just started shooting people up. The Peckerwood actually went into the church service and went through the worship service with them. Then after the service was done, that's when this murderous bastard pulled his gun out and just start killing people. And what the cops did the cops shoot him?
No.
When they found him with his gun, with his automatic weapon, they take this white boy to Burger King?
Wow.
Yeah. But getting back to Uvalde, right? So when
right.
I heard that the shooter was killed, I was like, automatically, oh, he's not a white boy. And then I had to come back now and reflect on the scriptures. I had to reflect on the scriptures. That God already said, because we reject his law, because we reject his word, we reject him, he should forget our children. And it was from that, it made me want to teach God's law more. It made me want to be able to teach the scriptures more. And to go against my first initial emotions, my first initial reaction, and get to God's law. Because God already said this is going to happen. But again, I know a lot of people hate God. They hate God's word. Give me real quick, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 13.
Yes, sir. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 13.
Yep.
And it reads, "Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed."
All I can do is read God's word. Whoever despises God's word, you're going to be destroyed. Someone's trying to show you the right way to go in God, but you reject it so you can hold on to your traditions. You reject it so you can hold on to the sensations and the feelings that you receive from. Didn't we just have Cinco de Mayo?
Gone.
How many of these Mexican families was honoring Cinco de Mayo but don't honor the God Sabbath? And just having Cinco de Mayo, how many of them celebrated God's Passover, the Lord's Passover?
But I mean, what's the other holiday of the Day of Death? I think or something like that.
There's Dia de Muerte, but we just had Easter. Easter just passed also. Let's not get around that.
Right.
How many of these families just celebrated Easter and had a lot of these same little of their kids hunting Easter eggs? Or here in South Texas, it's the cascalones. You take the egg. I'm not sure how they do it. They take the egg, you eat the yolk out without breaking the whole egg completely, and somehow they stuff it with confetti. And then they go and they break these eggs over people's heads and have the confetti go all over. And they still come out, dye the shells, the same way they do Easter eggs, and still dye the shells and or what have you. How many of these same so-called Mexican parents, families,
mm-hmm.
had their kids participating in this pagan
tradition or custom?
Tradition of Easter. This other pagan custom of Cinco de Mayo. That now they've forgotten the law of God. They rejected the law of God. Where is it ever recorded in God's word that on the day of Christ's resurrection, there's a goddamn rabbit that started laying eggs? Where does the word Easter even come from? That we might keep our, these customs and these traditions, and then we make sure our kids, you know, because it's for the kids, right?
Right.
That now the kids are learning to be in tune again with these sensations, with these emotions of the holidays.
Of jungle bunny, I mean chocolate bunny, I mean.
come with it.
The things with the, you know, I relate the jungle bunny, you know, those proverbs, those names that, you know, jungle bunny. Why has it got to be a chocolate bunny? I mean, you know, it's for the kids, of course, right? But I just, these customs, they're, to me, they're mockeries.
I get you saying that, but even
right.
The whole idea of a bunny,
right?
Well, because you got the Cadbury bunnies, true enough, but then you also got those pink damn cake bunny damn things, the Pez bunnies or whatever,
right?
But you're doing that for the kids. But what are the kids actually learning about who did Christ die for? That if this was supposedly his resurrection day,
right?
Who did he die for? The Israelites. So the Israelites might have another chance. But you making sure they know more about a goddamn rabbit and some rabbits laying eggs? Do they actually know about? Do they even know that? It's obviously you want the kids to learn about colors because your colors are goddamn eggs. But what about the true color of Jesus Christ? But now all of a sudden color don't matter, right? You might decorate the damn eggs.
Right.
People are so hypocritical. They're so damn hypocritical that we keep rejecting God's law. We keep rejecting God's knowledge to make sure our kids learn and get associated, deeply associated with the feelings of Easter, the feelings of Christmas, the feelings of Cinco de Mayo. That now, when somebody comes in now and is trying to show them the word of God, they reject it.
Right.
Because they look at how much fun and how much love and how much celebration drunk-ass Uncle Jorge got. How Cousin Juan got another damn tattoo. How there was more pork being served at the barbecues. That is what it means to be family. That must be what it means to be about God. That's what I associate with Easter, which is supposed to be associated with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. No. That's going totally against the word of God. And what did God say? You reject my law, you reject my way, I'm going to reject you and your children. Give me Mark chapter 7, we're going to start at verse 5. Let's go to Mark chapter 7. We're going to start at verse 5.
Coming. Mark chapter 7 and verse 5. And it reads.
Start at verse 1. We'll delve into this just a little bit. Go ahead.
All right. Mark chapter 7 and verse 1, and it reads, "Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault."
Check out these hypocrites. These are supposed to be Bible-loving, God-loving individuals who are supposed to know God. They see Christ and his disciples. And the disciples are eating bread, and oh, my God. And I know for this COVID society right now, this germaphobe society right now, I know many of y'all are thinking that Jesus Christ will be walking around with a mask on and that he'd be walking around with some hand sanitizer because he's Jesus. But, oh, my God, Jesus and the disciples were actually eating bread and they didn't go wash their damn hands. And I know for a lot of y'all right now, you're throwing up in your mouth right now. I know for a lot of y'all right now that there is no way. How is Jesus Christ eating bread and his disciples and they didn't wash their hands? No,
especially our people, nasty ass. Well, I can hear that.
you can hear it all day long right now.
All day long.
That and especially with us coming out of this COVID, that obviously right. Jesus Christ when he was preaching. He had a mask on. I don't know how Jesus healed the sick and cleansed the lepers. He had to touch people? No, I'm sure he had gloves. No.
Yeah, yeah.
Christ didn't.
There's nothing new under the sun, so I'm sure there was some latex, you know, some latex.
Yeah, the blue gloves. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
And then he's touching all these lepers, people with blindness, people with all types of sicknesses and illnesses. He's putting his hands on them and touching them. I know damn well Jesus Christ went to the Jordan and washed his hands before he ate. No, Jesus and the disciples didn't do that. And the Pharisees are trying to accuse him of doing something evil. So I got a question. Are you a Pharisee? Would you accuse Jesus Christ of being a nasty-ass nigga for not washing his hands before he ate after touching unclean people? Walking through the desert from city to city, from town to town, sweating, touching people, and his disciples was hungry, walking into the market and started eating bread without washing their hands? Whose side are you on? But this is what the Pharisees was trying to get on Christ about and his disciples. Let's keep reading.
Mark chapter 7 and verse 3. And it reads, for the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding the tradition of elders.
Holding the tradition of the elders. Not the law of God. Nowhere in the scriptures does God command that. But that's the tradition that the elders came up with. Reading on.
Mark chapter 7.
Let me say this.
Yes,
no, it's not wrong if you wash your hands before you eat. I'm not saying that that's wrong. I can hear those, and I can see people texting me right now. Goodbye. I got about five texts from five different people yesterday after our show last night.
I can imagine, because I mean, you did prepare us. You know, you did. It was no holds barred. You was like, this is going to be a very controversial. You know, people's heads are going to be exploding. You know,
time.
And you know,
so no, it's not wrong if you wash your hands. But it's also not wrong if you don't wash your hands. Let's keep reading.
Yes, sir. Mark chapter 7 and verse 4, and it reads, and when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as washing of cups and pots, and brazen vessels and of tables.
Go ahead. I found that, but I'm not going to. Let's keep going. Go ahead.
Then the Pharisees, Mark chapter 7 and verse 5, then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk nigh thy, not thy disciples? Let me read that again. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders? But
what the elders have set up, what the traditions have been, the feeling of everybody else. How come your disciples don't walk after and adhere and pay attention to these same feelings? That if this is what we've been doing for the longest time, this is what the Jews do. It's not a law of God, but this is what the Jews do, and this is what we all have been doing. Why aren't your disciples, your disciples, your students, the ones following you, Jesus, how come they're not caught up into this mob mentality and doing like everybody else is just doing? Why aren't they following these traditions? Keep reading.
But eat bread with unwashing hands?
Go ahead.
He answered and said unto them, well, hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites?
That Esaias is Isaiah. Esaias is just a Greek way of saying the word Isaiah. So you can read that again.
Mark chapter 7 and verse 6. He answered and said unto them, well, hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites? As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.
Their heart, their mind, and when you look at the word heart, it's the seat of a person's passions. So Christ is saying their heart, with the mouth, all day they say they love God. With the mouth, all day they love Jesus, with their mouth. But their heart, the seat of their passion, their mind, how they think, reject God every day, all day, so they can follow their emotions. So they can live like beasts. Read on.
Mark chapter 7 and verse 7. And it reads, howbeit in vain do they worship me.
And what is Christ saying here and quoting about what God has spoken through Isaiah? That the way you worship God is in vain. The way you worship God means nothing to God. What you hold near and dear and sentimental means less than nothing to God. Read.
Teaching for doctrine the commandments of men, for laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing
of... What verse you in?
I am in Mark chapter... I was at the end of 7, but I can start at the top again.
Let's start at the top of 7 again.
Yes, sir. Mark chapter 7 and verse 7, and it reads, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.
Teaching for doctrines? The commandments of men. Now remember the word doctrine. When we look up the word doctrine, hey, the dictionary definition of doctrine is somebody's beliefs. It's the reason somebody believes what they believe in. That's what a doctrine is. That the reason I believe the reason we believe in Hebrew Israelites is because of the scriptures that describe that prophesy what was going to happen to the Hebrew Israelites. So because of what's been written in the Bible that was going to happen to the Hebrew Israelites, this is why we believe we're Hebrew Israelites. That's the doctrine we believe in. Another person will believe that they're a Lambda Chi, whatever, fraternity or sorority, because
right,
these are the doctrines and the tenets that we believe in and uphold so that we could be this fraternity. So we can be this sorority. So we can be a part of this union. So we can be a part of this church. That we can be a part of this religion. So it says, howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. That I believe in this because of what some man says, not because of what the Bible says. not because of what God says, but with this group feeling that's been created with this congregation, with this church, with this union, with this family, or with this society. Since the whole society believes in it, that's why I believe in it. But I've never been shown why I believe in it. I've never been shown why I celebrate it. I know this is what everybody does. It's Easter. So everybody, they dye some eggs and go to Easter egg hunt, and everybody does it. No one's ever proven why we do it. Just everybody does it. All right, cool. That's what I'm going to do it. And I remember being a young child, and my tia or my tio or my primo helped me, you know. I couldn't find that one egg, and then my primo went and hid an egg just for me to find. And from that, you know, we just, he's my carnal. me and Morg. That because he did that for me around at Easter, or he did that for me around Christmas, or for Cinco de Mayo, that I went ahead and I got the three dots tattooed on my hand. Mi vida loca. That now we have a bond. The commandments of men, reading on now, verse 8.
Verse 8. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold it.
Laying aside the commandment of God. Read.
Ye hold the tradition of men.
You hold on to the tradition of men. You make what men think, what men feel, and what people of the world feel more important than what God feels. You'd rather make sure men see you and see that you're part of the feeling and part of the emotion and part of the celebration and part of whatever's going on, that of what men feel, and you give two shits about what God feels. You give a damn about what God feels so that you might be able to keep how men say you're supposed to feel, how men say you're supposed to react. Reading on.
Oh, also to the outlook of what is a man. So now you're not even a man according to the traditions of men. If you don't follow that tradition, you're not a man.
True.
Reading on, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do.
And there's a lot of things people do just because people do it, but not because God said it. Reading on.
Mark chapter 7 and verse 9. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God.
Full well we reject the commandment of God. Read.
That ye may keep your own tradition.
That you might keep your own traditions. They got nothing to do with God. That's something you came up with. Things that you made sentimental to your family. To your family gatherings, to your family parties, your family feasts, your family traditions. You've made that more important than the actual word of God. And you keep teaching this to your children. So the children keep the emotion going. The children keep the traditions going. The children keep the customs going. They got nothing to do with God. Reading on.
Mark chapter 7 and verse 10, and it reads, for Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. And whoso curses father or mother, let him die to death. 11. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free.
Right, because, again, this is giving children the authority to rebel against their parents. And by the Pharisees and the Sadducees giving the children the authority to rebel against their parents, the children would not pay their tithes or pay money to the church, pay tithes to the Pharisees. Because the Pharisees gave them liberty to be free from their parents, and they hit them with that, look, we didn't ask to be here. We're a gift. We didn't choose to be here. So you owe us. You owe me, so I can do what I want to do. going directly against the scripture that says what? Honor your father and mother. Serve your father and mother. No, I ain't doing that. I didn't have to be here. So if I'm laying up in the house and doing diddly, I'm a drunk, I'm a whoremonger, I'm what have you, and it's up to you to take care of the parents, the grandparents now. Y'all take care of the kids. I'm going to hold this against you that, remember, when you did this to me, you owe me. You made me feel bad. You made me feel a certain way. And because you made me feel a certain way, you owe me. The reason I'm messed up now in my life is because you made me feel bad. This is what the president says we're doing, as opposed to honor your father and mother. Reading on, verse 13.
Verse 13, making the word of God of none effect.
Oh, I'm sorry, verse 12, I'm sorry.
Mark chapter 7 and verse 12. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother.
That now he don't owe his parents anything. They owe him. That goes totally against the word of God. But let Christ go ahead and say it. Go ahead.
Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye.
So that you might keep your own traditions, customs, sentimentally, emotional, what have you, that's of the world. They have nothing to do with God. And then we make sure we teach this madness, these emotions, these feelings to our children. So God told us, again, Hosea 4 and 6, since you have forgotten the law of God, you reject the knowledge of God, I'm going to reject you. And I'm also going to forget your children. So now instead of protecting them, no, because of your decisions and how you're raising them, yeah, they're going to die.
No, being destroyed. We got that understanding out of Psalms 119 and 142, where it says, if you despise the Heavenly Father's law, which is the truth, then you would be destroyed. Getting that understanding.
And our children now going to be rejected. Let's go to Amos chapter 4, verse 12.
Amos chapter 4
and verse 12.
Verse 12. And it reads, therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel.
Uh-oh. Since God is saying this, but because I know a lot of y'all, a lot of people are illiterate. A lot of people refuse to read the Word of God, refuse to want to hear the Word of God, and you just want to hear what makes you feel good, just what feeds your emotions. This is why you don't understand and know the God of Israel. Again, whatever religion you came up in, you know that God. In my house, we were Baptists. So I know the Baptist God. That as long as I get baptized, that's what's protecting me from any and all evil. I get baptized. I go to church on Sunday. I barely pay attention to church. Go to the Sunday church dinner, wear them hard dress shoes. I got my special Sunday clothes that got to be just for Sunday, and I might learn a scripture once every 6 months. That's what it means to be a good Baptist. If you Lutheran, whatever it is, you got to do to be a good Lutheran. If you was a Jehovah's Witness, you really don't too much celebrate holidays. But you believe that there's only going to be 144,000 people that make it to heaven, and you're trying to be one of those 144,000 people that make it to all entire heaven.
Don't forget the Methodists.
Yeah, true. Can't find none of these words in the Bible nowhere, but somehow y'all got the method. And I know in the Methodist Church, because everywhere y'all go, you got the three crosses up. You're supposed to represent against Christ and the two male factors on either side of them. And y'all are the Methodists. And y'all go to church on Sundays and do whatever the hell it is y'all do. Cool. That has nothing to do with meeting and knowing the God of Israel, the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have not met him. We don't know him. From there, let's get Jeremiah chapter 28 and verse 8. Now, this here, if people ain't already pissed off, you about to get pissed off. When you're dealing with the prophets of God, and this has been of old, and this was Jeremiah saying this, that what we're about to read. The prophets of old, because you got a lot of people in a lot of churches today, you got women calling themselves prophetesses, you got niggas calling themselves prophets from Elijah, the prophet Elijah Muhammad or whoever. But when we actually read the Bible, what type of things did the prophets actually prophesy? What were their words? Many of us don't have no clue what they talked about because we have never read the Old Testament. And we go to places of worship that cater to our feelings, that agree with how I feel. But let's read this here, Jeremiah chapter 28 and verse 8.
Chapter 28 and verse 8. Jeremiah chapter 28 and verse 8.
Right.
And it reads, the prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence.
Okay.
9.
Hold up. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries, against countries. Not God bless America, not God continue to keep America going, or if it was Babylon, or if it was the Persian and the Medes, or if it was the whoever. They prophesied against many countries and against great kingdoms. And the prophets of old prophesied of what? Of war. There's going to be destruction. There's going to be a lot of bloodshed. There's going to be a lot of death. The prophets of old prophesied of evil, that if people don't repent and change, there's going to be a lot of evil things that happen to their children. And of pestilences. They talk about this monkeypox is about to hit the scene. Monkeypox, Asian flu, chickenpox, swine fever, smallpox, measles, chickenpox, HPV, HIV, COVID, of many pestilences. Because people were not following or rejecting the word of God, rejecting the laws of God. How many people here, you God-fearing, but you make sure you got every jab and you wear two or three masks, but you fear God? You're a hypocrite. You fear God, you love God, but now God's going to let a germ kill you, and you're more afraid of that germ than in obeying God? You're a hypocrite. And you're ignorant to the ways of the God of the Bible. You ain't never been taught the ways of the God of the Bible. You are that person that from the day you took your first breath have been taught to be in tune with your senses. You've made every decision and every choice and been based on how you feel. for every relationship you got into, for every bad decision that wound up being a bad decision, before when you made that decision, at the time, and you based that decision on how you felt. If it made you feel powerful, then I'm going to choose my own way. I ain't going to listen to advice. I'm just going to do it on my own. All right, cool. And that wound up being a bad idea. That wound up being a bad choice. But what did you base that choice on? Impulses. What did you base that choice on? Well, this is what the family thinks is good, so I'm going with the family. Not one time has the scripture been open. Now, before you made the decision, at no time did anybody open the Bible and say, well, hold up, before you do that, remember, this is what God said. Before you do that, hold up, this is what the scripture says. Read this. Anybody know that? From there, let's get Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 26 and 27.
Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 27.
26 and 27.
26 and 27. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 26, and it reads, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. 27. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you.
We're going to be the minorities among the heathen, being kicked off the promised land, kicked out of the promised land. And wind up here in America, among the most murderous people on the planet, so-called white people. The most murderous and self-righteous people that have ever been created, so-called white people. Now, we've gotten over here, and we've learned their ways. So now our children are not protected. Now our children are subject to some of the same practices that white people have been doing since white people first came to the Americas in 1492. Raping, robbing, killing, and pillaging our own people. Now, let's get Proverbs chapter 12 or 26 real quick.
Proverbs.
It's also amazing to me, Gabar.
Yes, sir.
Again, it's amazing to me how everybody's now got have you observed how white people are really pushing this thing about critical, critical race theory? That they don't want it taught in public schools no more, or in history books, how white people treated minorities when they first got here, how white people treated black people, how white people treated the Native American Indians, and how white people treated so-called Mexicans.
Right.
Because go ahead.
Yeah, it's totally, it actually started here first in Texas, in the history books, instead of being brought here on slave ships, now it's in the history, it's being taught in the education system that we migrated here. That they didn't, we came here on our own, you know.
That's a part of it. That's to bring the reality of the horrors of slavery.
Right.
And how white people have profited, and this is what gives them even the white privilege, even up to today, from the murders, from the rapes, from the pillaging, from the destruction of the Native American, so-called Native American cities, the so-called Mexican American, Inca American, Aztec American kingdoms, and the atrocities that they've held against so-called blacks coming over on slave ships with impunity and with no form or no sense of justice. That to now teach these things, that this is what white people did, and this is how they got their wealth and their privilege. That now they want critical race theory established because they don't want white people to feel bad about what they've done.
And they also want our children to not have any record of it. So that is a spiritual or a mental restraint on the truth going through our children as if.
Go ahead.
As if, you know, if our children don't have any knowledge of what we have been through for the past 400 years, 500 years, it wipes clean, and it's like tightening the restraining, making the restraint more tighter. You know, the lies. Now, with our children not being aware, it makes Esau, the so-called white man, Edomite nation, so-called white people, look blameless, and makes our children look at us like, why are we tripping? I mean, it puts a real restraint on us being able to be free to teach our children about what the Lord wants instead of what the other nations want or what society wants.
True.
If that makes any sense.
It does. And with that being said, that now if we erase what white people have done since they came to the Americas, now we can't match the prophecies in the Bible with their history. So now all we're left with is the emotions of being great Americans, being patriotic Americans, and now we're left with the emotions that we are derived from Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, Cinco de Mayo, Memorial Day, Labor Day, Valentine's Day. We're left with all these same customs and this one world order of one world humanity. And now we cannot match the history with the prophecies of the Bible to show who we are, to show the Israelites who we are, and have the Israelites wake up to the truth of their identity. But what I was also going to bring out was, thank you for that perspective. That was on point. But also I want to see if, has it been noticed that with the teaching of critical race theory, that you don't hear the outrage among white people or among Americans. I'm going to say that among Americans, especially people who are trying to be God-fearing Americans. You don't hear the outrage. You don't hear the outrage from them when it came to that white boy that went up in Buffalo, New York, mm-hmm. and slaughtered all those people in Buffalo just 2 weeks ago. You don't hear white people getting up and vilifying and demanding the death, demanding justice, demanding that white boy that went up there and shot those people in Buffalo, New York, that he's a monster, that he's a criminal and a villain and deserves to be shot down like a dog in the streets. You don't hear that. That is not there. But then as soon as it was understood that this shooter in Uvalde, Texas, was a so-called Mexican-American, now you hear nothing but Americans calling him a monster, calling the things that he did evil, and that he deserved to die, that he deserved death, and even worse, because he's a so-called Mexican. Because now, you know, he's one of those people who is probably an illegal, an illegal alien, and he probably, you know, stuck across the border, and he's the one who's been taking jobs away from us white Americans, and he's the one who, this is why, you know, we're probably paying his welfare, probably paying his food stamps, Probably he's probably getting free Medicare because he's a you know, a wetback. He's a what's some derogatory names there for the so-called Mexicans?
Spick, wetback,
a beaner,
illegal alien.
He's an illegal alien. And he deserved death. He deserved the destruction that he got for being such a villain, for killing kids. So my question becomes, so when somebody destroys children, are they monsters? So when white people got down in the South, would capture runaway slaves or capture slaves or capture blacks, children, and actually deliver them up as alligator bait. They use children to hunt alligators. The children would be tied up, and everybody, I don't know if everybody has seen it, but they got a show on A&E, I believe it's called Swamp People. And then Swamp People, you have these white people that hunt alligators.
Right.
And so they'll tie the meat up on these flesh hooks, and they'll hunt alligators. But they was doing that with Negro babies, Negro infants. They would kidnap them, and then use them to hunt alligators. So are white people, white Americans, going to call them villains just as much? Are they going to call them monsters just as much? Are they going to demand the justice for those acts? Or is it just when... Now it's got to be recognized, like what's been going on in America, that only black people minorities are the villains, are the criminals, are cruel, are unjust, are monsters, obviously, you know, we're the King Kong rapists, and all we want to do is get white women from the movie King Kong, and inference.
The trade was you know. They said it was Ham or the so-called Africans. It was six African women, but we know since we supposedly came from there, you know, we migrated from there, that it's talking about six so-called Negro women for one Caucasian or so-called white woman.
Well, they put King Kong climbing the World Trade Center. All
right.
In search of that, he wanted to get the white woman. That he's ready to destroy America so he can just get a hold of that white woman, this giant ape. Then you had LeBron James come back a couple of years ago, who took the same picture but made it modern, where he's holding a white girl in his arms, looking like a fucking ape, looking like King Kong. I'll send it to you. After the show, I'll send it to you.
God.
But the description that especially so-called Negroes, Native Americans, so-called Mexicans, we're just everything bad and wrong with society. That they have the nerve to call black men and Mexican men rapists. You don't never hear about, read about black men and black Native Americans going and raping towns and villages of white people. But how many of the cowboys, so-called white cowboys, in the country of the West, would go in and kill all the men and rape the women? That's never brought up. That's that critical race theory that now we have to still protect the image of white people. That the truth about what white people have done, now see, it can't be that's why I was talking about, you know, we talk about Black Lives Matter, then they got to come up with Blue Lives Matter. When have black people been destroying and shooting down innocent cops? When it's recorded now how the CIA and the FBI was bringing the crack cocaine, bringing cocaine into our communities, bringing the heroin into our communities to destroy us. When did we do that to white people? It's shown in the movies. They'll say that when if it was Bumpy Johnson or if it was the guy that Denzel Washington played in with Russell Crowe. Oh,
American Gangster.
American Gangster. That the white mob said, "All right, we're cool. We'll help bring these drugs in, but make sure it stays in the niggas and the spicks neighborhoods. It better not go to any white neighborhoods." But as soon as it started going and hitting white neighborhoods, all of a sudden there needs to be a war on drugs, which meant lock up more black people.
Right.
Lock up more Mexicans.
And then make him the king, the king of snitches?
Yeah.
Oh,
again,
top of that.
Vilify, and wanting to vilify and keep this image that it's not white people that are the evil ones, the wrongdoers, the unjust ones, and hold themselves continually not guilty, that now if every the smallest infraction that one of our people does, we need to magnify that so we can now get the attention of the, since 1492, what white people have been doing since they got here, the bloodshed that they've shed since they've been here. And now somehow we're going to quantify it. Somehow we're going to make it equal to that this, what this minority did is supposed to compare and be equivalent to what white people have done since they've been here.
Okay.
Let's go to, I'm going to get one more group of scriptures. Let's go to this is going to be it for tonight. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 14. We're going to read verses 7 through 15.
God. Okay.
No. Let's do this. Let's go to Jeremiah 18. We're going to read verses 7 through 12 instead. Let's go and do this instead. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 7 through 12.
Con. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 7 through 12.
Con.
Yes, sir. All right. Jeremiah chapter 18, starting at verse 7. And it reads, "At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it."
Go ahead.
"If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them."
So to the Israelites, that by us not keeping his commandments, he said they're going to be curses, that we're going to stick to us. From Leviticus chapter 26, verses 14 through 46. From Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 15 through 68. From Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 18 through 28. From Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 15 through 44. From 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 27 through 32. From Isaiah chapter 24, verses 1 through 23. That all through the Bible, the Lord had the prophets, from Micah chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, the Lord had the prophets prophesying against the Israelites that if we don't repent, if we don't get right, things are going to get worse. Things for us and for our children are going to get worse. Let's keep reading. What verse are you in?
I'm in verse 9.
Go ahead.
Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 9. "And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them."
Again, speak to the nation of Israel. If, verse 10, it says, "If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them." And again, This is the Lord talking to a complete, entire nation, the nation of Israel. Reading on, sir.
Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 11. And it reads, "Now therefore go to, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return."
I frame evil against you. I'm setting you up for evil. You don't want to obey my voice. You don't want to keep my law and do things my way. You're being set up for evil. And I'm going to devise things against you, the nation of Israel. Reading on from there, please.
Thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now every one from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good.
This is to the nation of Israel, which includes the so-called Mexicans, the tribe of Issachar. Read.
Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 12. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart.
So I'm doing what I think is right. I'm going to keep doing what I think is right, what I feel is right. And I'm not going to obey the voice of God. I'm not going to obey God's laws. I'm going to walk by how I feel. Again, this is going on amongst the whole nation. So as this type of evil keeps happening to us, there's a reason for it. There is a reason for it. I'm sorry. We're in Jeremiah. Go to Jeremiah chapter 18 and start at verse 15. Let's get one more.
Jumping down in Jeremiah chapter 18 to verse 15.
Yeah.
And it reads, because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity, and they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths.
So now we're causing our children to stumble from the ways of the ancient paths. We're not raising our children up the way Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did to follow the God of Israel, to follow the God of the Bible. We're teaching our kids to be in tune with their emotions, to be in tune with their surroundings. That if everybody else is doing it, it must be okay. Especially if it's an American holiday. Especially something to do with America, then if everybody in America is doing it, it must be okay. Don't worry about the laws of God. Don't worry about how God wants things done. You follow your heart. Reading on.
To walk past in the way not cast up, to make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing. Everyone that passes thereby shall be astonished and wag his head.
This is how everybody walks through the ghetto and drives through the ghetto and wonders, how can people live this way? How can people live this way? And if you consider that we are the true Jews, how the hell we go from Solomon's temple, the land of milk and honey, to now the Native Americans are living in the poorest, most broke down reservations in the land of America? People are like, man, what the hell did they do to their God? Because this ain't living.
Right.
Reading on.
Verse 17.
Yeah.
Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 17, and it reads, I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity.
I'm not going to watch over them to protect them. I'm turning my back on them. So this Uvalde, Texas thing, it would be easy for God to, how many cops just get a hunch and walk up on a drug deal, walk up on a possible rape about to go down, or just happen to stop a car that's got a whole bunch of guns in it off of a hunch? So God did the same thing with this dude here. For as much as there's internet and just whatever going on, God didn't let nobody stop him, because God turned his back on us, because we continually turn our back on him. Keep reading.
18. Then said they, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the word.
Because all Jeremiah's going to keep doing, because Jeremiah's going to keep telling us what the Most High wants. So we got to find a way to stop Jeremiah. If we shut Jeremiah up, then maybe, I don't know what people would think. If you shut the prophet up, that's the stuff what God wants to happen? Jeremiah, it was just the mouth of the Lord. But people really thought, like, you know what, if we kill Jeremiah, then maybe God's got to accept us. The same spirit of Cain killing Abel. If I kill Abel, then God has to accept me. I'm not going to change for God. I want to make God change for me. Because I want to keep giving what I feel is right. I want to keep following my emotions. This is the same thought process people had against the prophet Jeremiah. Don't tell me what God has going on. You better tell me some good things. You better tell me that I'm going to be allowed to keep thinking and feeling the way I feel. And that the way I'm thinking, the way I feel is right. Keep reading, Ak.
Con. So Jeremiah 18, I'm going to start at the top again. Jeremiah 18 and 18. Then said they, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet.
He's going to keep telling us what God says. Go ahead.
And let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words.
Come, and let us smite him with the tongue. Let's talk shit. Let us smite him with our opinions and with our words. And let us not give heed to any of his words. Read.
Verse 19. Give heed to me, O Lord, and hearken to the voice of Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 19.
Now this is where Jeremiah is praying in response to what people were planning against him. Go ahead, verse 19.
Verse 19. Give heed to me, O Lord, and hearken to the voice of them that contend with me. Shall evil be recompensed for good? For they have digged a pit for my soul. Remember that I stood before thee to speak good for them and to turn away thy wrath from them. Therefore, deliver up their children to the famine and pour out their blood by the
sword. Do what?
Therefore, deliver up their children to the famine and pour out their blood by the force of the sword.
By the force of the what?
Of the sword.
And what's the modern day sword today?
A gun.
A gun. Read.
And let their wives be bereaved of their children.
Wait. I got this.
Two chops to the throat. Two chops to the damn throat.
Right.
Everybody quiet now, huh? But I know you're not, because they did the same thing to Jeremiah talking shit. People do the same thing today talking shit. But this is what Jeremiah said, cool. Then this is what they want to do? Then let their children, therefore deliver up their children to the famine and pour out their blood, their children, by the force of the sword. Then kill their children. And let their wives be bereaved of their children and be widows. And let their men be put to death. Let their young men be slain by the sword in battle. Reading on, verse 22.
Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 22. Let a cry be heard from their houses. Let me read that again. Let a cry be heard from their houses when thou shalt bring a troop suddenly upon them. For they have digged a pit to take me and hid snares for my feet. Yet, Lord, thou knowest all their counsel against me to slay me. Forgive not their iniquity, neither blot out their sin from thy sight. But let them be overthrown before thee. Deal thus with them in the time of thine anger.
This was the prophet Jeremiah had to pray because of people talking shit. Because all Jeremiah was doing was giving people the word of the Most High. Stop following your emotions. Stop following all this other stuff. And get back to obeying God. Get back to doing things the way God wants things done. I'm going to end it with that. Wait a minute. You got anything out?
Earlier, like way earlier in the class, you said the scriptures, Yahweh Shai, Christ said, makes you free. The truth shall make you free. Free from what? Free from our emotions, free from our own opinions, free from the lies and the influences of this world and the other nations, free from punishment, these curses that we are receiving because of our feelings.
Time. All right, brothers, this is we're going to bring this episode to a close tonight. The Most High's will. I'll be traveling tomorrow evening. Well, actually, this evening, I'll be traveling back to Albuquerque. We might be able to. Today is Wednesday, right?
Yes, sir.
Tomorrow's Thursday. Maybe we can get a class in tomorrow night. It's gonna be tough. Maybe we can get a teacher to fill in tomorrow night, so we can kind of keep this train rolling and keep things going. But we'll see. We'll see how it's going to go. Brother Kawhi, I want to thank you, brother, for your input, for your energy. it really helps out a lot, and it's much appreciated. Much appreciated.
It's an honor. To to get this information out and, you know, do our best to please the Heavenly Father. It's an honor.
Okay. And these reminders of these scriptures of how much Revelation 18:4 really stands out. It says, come out of my people. I heard a great voice from heaven saying, come out of my people, that you be not partaking of her sins, and that you receive none of her plagues. That as long as we continue to keep the mindset of America, we know our physical liberation is not going to be able to come until Christ gets here. But the mental freedom that the truth does afford us, the mental liberty that the truth does give us, that we need to really start getting and taking heed to God's word. We need to get to, we're not searching our feelings, but we're searching God's word. Because all that this society is promoted is to give into your senses, is to give into your feelings, is to give into your impulses. It is not promoted the word of God. It is not promoted the ways of God. And this is, again, our purpose in trying to help wake people up to the truth of God, the truth of the God of the Bible, the truth of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So I don't have anything else, Doc. You got anything?
I'm good. I'm good, sir.
Cool. So with that then, brothers and sisters, we're going to say, my name is Mashaba.
My name is Gabar Kawa. There is one thing that you didn't mention. This is show 999?
No, it's 998.
998. Okay. All right. And, I just saw that in my reminders at the end. You know, but with that, I'm Gabar Kawa.
My name is Mashaba, and we would like to say shalom.
Shema you